Had a wonderful weekend with Brother Marler, haven't we? And last night he tickled us. He gave us a good presentation at our banquet, and Brother Marler has been a friend of mine for many, many years. And I just appreciate him coming and ministering to us. The services yesterday, or rather on Sunday, and speaking for us last night at the banquet. And tonight, again, we're going to hear from him. How many of you have enjoyed Brother Marler's preaching? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So here he comes, Brother O.C. Marler. We're from the same neck of the woods in Louisiana. And, of course, now he's an educator and teacher in Bible college. And we're just thrilled to have him from Indiana Bible College in Indianapolis. Everybody, welcome him with a great big praise the Lord.
Can't sing around here, you're nobody.
I'm nobody.
You're nothing. You know, if I was big on complexes, I'd leave. This is so, that isn't it something that you just don't know that kind of music exists anymore. This is great. It's so hard to worship sometimes, and I've noticed, because I don't want to miss anything. And you're divided, you know. If I pastored a church, I would have Timothy Spelks come just to holler. If he didn't need to sing, I like to hear him belt out after every once in a while. Just, my, what a time, what a time. Everyone is so kind around here. Everything that I have wanted, I was thinking about there a while ago. I don't know, pretty close to 40 camps, meetings, I believe, I've preached. And, of course, there'd be no way to count the conferences and stuff. I have never been treated like this. Everything you need, they're just waiting on you to give it to you. If you folks are worried about how these folks host, your worries is over. They take care of everything. I thought they'd done everything, and from the basket, a goodie basket in the room, to hauling us around and giving us everything we need, and then I guess I'm getting spoiled. My glasses was crazy a while ago, so I just turned around to the choir. I said, I need something to wipe my glasses on. And it was no time till I had one of those little damp cloths, you know. So I realized I didn't have any mints for after, and just reached over and got two mints from Brother Weeks. Whatever you want. You just reach in there and get it. Y'all are so kind. No, I got to say that the congregation of this church is as friendly as anyone. You know, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't make any difference how spiritual you are, how talented you are, how much you pray or fast. If you're not friendly, you're not going to get a thing. People's not going to come to a church that's not friendly. That's just the way it is. And you folks, it looks like you have the market corner on kindness. And I do appreciate that an awful lot. And Brother and Sister Heyman, Bishop Heyman and Sister Heyman, and also Pastor Heyman, Sister Heyman, we just love being with you. And like they mentioned, we've been friends for a long, long time. And besides that, I'll just let you keep standing because you'll be tired sitting after a while. Like I said before, Brother Heyman's father, Bishop Heyman's father, was in our part of the world. and help revivals. And my folks, they live by whatever Elder Heyman said when he was alive or would have said had he been alive. And then my brother was named after Brother Heyman, Donald Cullen. And so it goes way back. Brother Buxton, it's good to see you and Sister Buxton tonight. Brother and Sister Buxton was raised right not far from where I was. They lived on the Calcasieu side, and we lived on the Calcasieu side of the river. And so that's the way it was. We surely enjoyed seeing them come. I'm not going to start calling names because of the preachers that are here, because I have a terrible problem. I can know everything until I need it, and I don't know anything then. Let's go completely stupid. It's like a damper being put on your brain. But anyway, I am so glad to meet all of you. I've seen all of you before, and some of you, we have not been around each other a lot. And this is a great moment for me to, well, this is boring, isn't it? I can't hardly stand this. It's got to get better. Pray, brother. But anyway, whatever I said, it don't matter. I'm just glad to be here. Yeah, I'm going to take my time. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you. That's what I want to do. I want to take my time. It's almost still daylight, I think, out there. And we'll just, let's have a good time. I'm getting to feel like preaching a little bit because I got to do something else. Thank you all for inviting us. Have books back there and tapes and all that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of stuff that I'd like to see you take. My publisher would like to see you take it. But I want to tell you something else. My printer, I mean. I'm the publisher. But I tell you what. If you don't look at anything else, look at Doctrine Does Matter.
Yes, sir.
That is what you want to look at. Doctrine Does Matter. It's our basic doctrine. And it also is a home Bible study type thing. It shows you how to mark your Bible. And after you mark your Bible and read the book, you can throw the book away and just take your Bible and have a home Bible study with anyone for an hour or two and so forth. There's a lot of people being won to God. Every week or two I hear people being won to the Lord from it across the country. So that was what I really, if I'm going to push anything, give a commercial to anything, it would be that.
Good. Thank the Lord.
Thank you. I would like... maybe a little water help. I guess I didn't need that. I'm going to read from Matthew. These songs just got me so just enjoy them so much. These old songs, because they're new to some of you young people, but they're old and good. But that song about the wind, that's didn't Sister Ewan write? Who wrote that? Joan Ewan. Oh, that's a beautiful song. It's beautiful. Matthew 5. Now, if you wasn't here last night, I'll tell you, if I act a little odd tonight, it's because there's a vet in this church that's giving me horse pills for my sinus. Well, that's what the bottle said. I didn't think it was horse pills till I got in the I got in the shower stall and started kicking. You know, the only way he can tell if his wife is in good health if her nose is wet. Now, she told me that herself, so. Matthew 5, about 3 through 9. I know it's a quarter till 9. Do we need to think about school and all that stuff? And I really do want to be kind. Well, I do kind of want to preach a little. 5. It's night now, and day was earlier. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was... Matthew 5. Now this is my time. And seeing the multitude... I wasn't going to pay it no mind, no way. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when... it's later than I thought. And when... yeah. He went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Those other kind are called something else. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You may be seated. I would like tonight to speak for a little while at this fabulous conference about the ultimate power. The ultimate power. Blessings, the blessings of God are what is what we need more than anything else in the world. The blessings of God. You can go down the list of what you don't have, what we don't have. And we would go down the list of what we would like to have. But the truth of it is, if you don't have the blessings of God, quit worrying about anything else till you get it. It's all right to plan for a nice home. It's all right to want nice clothes. The more you pay for clothes, the longer they wear. Nothing wrong with all of that. But first, the blessings of God. Praise God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all the other things then will be added to you. Blessings is the key that turns in the rusty lock of your life and opens up to us everything that's good and right for us. Oh God, let me be blessed. Let me be blessed. More than anything, let me be blessed. If you're here tonight and you don't feel like that, you feel the blessings of God, you need to start praying right now. Don't wait for anything. Begin whisper a prayer. God, let me be in the place that I can be blessed of God. We can overlook the blessings of God like the thieves in Alabama's cave. That ran their fingers through piles of rubies, leaving, thinking they are pebbles. Well, we have to be careful what we call pebbles. Everyone is minimizing spiritual things. Something happened today to me that has upset me all day. I was getting a haircut and the lady was cutting my hair. Someone else was over there getting something done and they sneezed. And this lady was cutting my hair and said, God bless you. Oh, I'm so sorry. Bless you. I said, what? Why can't you say God? She said, well, you know how people get so easily offended. I said, well, but what about your rights? And I said, I tell you what offends me is when they use the name of my God in vain. Well, you see, I did not educate her, and I didn't change her mind. I know. Because everything is important, more important to her than something spiritual. We have to be so careful because we've got rubies. Praise God.
Amen.
We've got rubies. Everybody's running their hands through the rubies. Through the precious things. And they're walking on out. The thieves were going somewhere else to rob when they had everything there in their hands that they could have wanted. Well, the reason people would run their hands through rubies, and not realize that they were not pebbles, is because they're in darkness. In darkness, we can't stay in darkness. We can't be in darkness. Now, there's a lot on my mind, and I'll have to be careful here tonight. I'm not going to tell you everything that's on my mind tonight, because I want to tell you, the world's getting in trouble, and the church is getting in trouble. Because the church is forgetting. And if we're not careful, we'll get to the place that we don't appreciate how we got this truth, what the truth is,
how important it is.
Somebody said not long ago that the Trinity doctrine, there was no such thing as a, it was just a matter of semantics. Just how you say it. Oh no, folks. Oh no. This is a revelation.
Yes, it is.
Praise God.
Amen.
Just because somebody might have taught it to you, you still had to, God still had to let you understand it.
Right.
We've got to hold this soul so dear and so precious. We've got to keep it right way. We've got to really appreciate it and love it and hug it to our bosoms. Let me tell you a little story. The other day at a funeral in Indiana, a girl told us this, a lady. She said, you know, I lived in the church. I was in the church. And she said, I was so involved. And when everybody else was doing things that were wrong, I wasn't doing them. I wasn't going with the young people and doing things. And on and on and on. And she said, then later on, she said, I got away from church. And she said, I started dressing any way I wanted to. And she said, and of course, I wore makeup and I did all this stuff. And she said, I went anywhere I pleased and I didn't go to church. And he said, this went on for several years. And she said, finally, one day, I got so concerned about my soul and I couldn't live like that any longer. And said, I got in my car and I drove several hundred miles to my church. And when I walked into the church, she said, everyone in there had short hair and makeup and lipstick. And said, I looked at the organ and my pastor's wife had on almost a miniskirt. She said, it made me so angry. She said, I said out loud, why couldn't you wait for me? Why couldn't you keep it right for me? I need you. Oh, folks, I don't want to get heavy, but I want to tell you all tonight that we have the greatest truth of all the world. This is the most wonderful thing that you can ever get a hold of. Praise God. Oh, we want to hear about good and faithful service. Oh. You know, when Saul disguised himself and went to the witch of Endor, and when he got there disguised to that witch, she said this. She said, thou knowest what Saul has done, how he hath cut off all that have familiar spirit. What she said, Saul is against this. Saul is against it. Well, I want to tell you something. We better take a lesson. Here was Saul, the man that was against it.
Preach it.
How in the world could we preach something all of our lives? How in the world can we stand for holiness and truth and the Holy Ghost and the essentiality of it all of our lives, and then one day say we don't believe it? Hey, folks! Well, I want to tell you something. This truth is more exciting than payday. Amen. I'm going to try to lighten up a little. This truth is more exciting than payday. There's nothing in the world like this truth. Oh, hallelujah. What is this truth? Death, burial, and resurrection. Just say it makes me excited. Much less do it. Listen, don't bypass repentance. Don't bypass repentance. You got to have repentance. And I want to tell you, repentance is one of the greatest blessings you'll ever have in your life. If you're here tonight and you have not repented, I want to tell you, you're in for a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful blessing. Hey, when you feel that load of sin lift off of you and you feel lighter than a feather, praise God. And you're crying, but you're not crying because you're sad. You're crying because you're happy. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Repentance is dying out. You gotta die out. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, to be baptized. To be baptized. Oh, hallelujah. There's two great things. Oh, hallelujah. There's two great things that's happening to you. Amen. One thing is that you are taking on the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And the other thing is your sins that you just got forgiven for now are being remitted. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And then to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. My, I wish I could tell you how I felt. My mother was 94. She passed away 2.5 years ago. And the evening she died, Brother Ballester, Jack Holt walked into her room and said, "Aunt Bertha, you've had the Holy Ghost a long time." She said, "Yes, Jack, but I want to tell you, it's just as good this afternoon as it was when I got it." Wow. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. I wanted to be sure it was the Holy Ghost, you know. And I was raised where they said, somebody get the Holy Ghost, they said, "Well, maybe they didn't really get it," and blah, 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 you know, all that. And I was so afraid I'd get something that just sound like the Holy Ghost, and it wouldn't really be the Holy Ghost. So I was having a struggle. And finally, I remember that night that I was there, and I felt like I was going to say something that I didn't know what I was talking about. And finally, I said to myself, "Well, I got to let it come out, whether it's real or not." And I just started, all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost just started speaking through me. Praise God. And I'll tell you, I never felt so good in all my life. Amen. Just like other people say, my tongue got thick. Amen. And after a while, I started feeling chill bumps all race all over me. Amen. Then all of a sudden, I went somewhere else and I started praising God. And it seemed like to me I was preaching in an auditorium that was so vast, it was forever. No, I still feel it right now. I still feel that power right now. Cha-cha. Oh, glory. We're talking the ultimate power. Praise God. We're talking a power that's so powerful that you just use symbols to talk about it. Like wind and fire. You know how strong wind can be? Well, wind could level this whole town. And that's how strong it is. But God's power is stronger than wind. Amen. Well, you know how fires get out of control sometimes, and big homes, $1 million homes, go before them like matchboxes burning up. That's how strong and powerful it is. But our God's power is stronger, thank God, than any raging fire. Hallelujah! Stronger than an earthquake. Oh, glory. See what that medicine's doing to me? Oh, glory. If that chariot comes by one more time, I'm going to get in it. Oh, glory. Now the snorting comes with this sermon. Okay. One of the first things they teach a lineman that's going to work with electricity. They teach him that power that's overhead in those wires, not to ever have in your hand a piece of wire. Say a piece of wire that you can hold. And don't ever get perfectly parallel under that power. Because if you do, the law of electricity, when that's perfectly parallel in your hand with the power that's up there, it comes down into that wire that you're holding. And it's just as strong as that power there. Here's the power. Be very careful. If you hold a wire. And be parallel. Well, what happens here? We've got to learn to flow in the direction that God flows. I think I'll make it without that problem. Just flow in the direction that God flows. Therefore, having the mind of Christ. And when he gets right there,
yes, sir.
I don't have any sense, you know. I'm just about half goofy, but whenever I get the mind of Christ, I get smart as a whip. Yeah. Sometimes people come in, ask questions about things. I don't know, but all of a sudden, get the mind of Christ, get perfectly parallel. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is. In heaven. Oh. Oh. I wish I went to the Niagara Falls, and I'm going to tell you, that thing is something else. Trillions of tons of water coming over that thing. And it's all kinds of colors, varied colors, as it hits down, as it comes down on the rocks and concrete, all that. And it's so loud that you can't hear people standing next to you. You just can't believe it. The mighty Niagara. So you get home. And you want to explain it to everybody. I went to the Niagara Falls. Oh, you did? What's it like? Well, I want to tell you. There was all kind of multicolored water coming down. Oh, it came and just like rivers, a thousand rivers emerged in one place. And sheets came down. Spray boats way off. They just sit there and look at you. Yeah. I said, okay, all right, I was afraid of this going to happen. I brought a jug of it home. I showed them this is Niagara Falls. And they just look at you. Well, happy Friday. And so it's like when you start to try to tell somebody about the Holy Ghost. Oh! I just got through trying to tell you. You try to tell somebody and you try to tell somebody and finally after a while you just look at them and you say, well, let me tell you, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Ever since I got the Holy Ghost, and when I start having troubles and get down, the song says just a little talk with Jesus. Makes it right all right. Sometimes I can't hardly get there. Sometimes I struggle on my knees, coming all the way uphill, and my knees are up against rocks and all of that. But what I see where I gotta go. I know where I gotta go. So after a while, I get there. Praise God. Amen. It might be when I've walked off into an old Sunday school room and started singing to myself.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. It might be after I've run out of somebody to pray for. Amen. And don't even know how to express my needs. And I start saying, Lord, I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And the first thing you know, I parallel. Perfectly. Praise God. And I feel that power. Oh, I feel that power. But you see, I'm going to tell you, God cannot change. And that's the wonderful part about God. God cannot change. He stays right there all the time. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God cannot change. We must. We are the ones that must change. He's here. It doesn't take, it's just a fraction to get off, because it has to be perfectly parallel. If we don't like His way, we got to learn to like it. Because He don't change. if we don't like his doctrine.
All right,
now. Tough. He's not going to change. I told one of my friends that went charismatic. I said to him, okay, I hear everything you say. I'm hearing it all. But I want to tell you something. After you've done, laid all the smoke screen.
Yes, sir.
This book of Acts is not going anywhere.
That's right.
Translate, just use all the translations you want. But it's still, it's, when you get back, it's still going to be here. Praise God. Amen. I know sometimes we'd like to make things good for some of our people. But we didn't write it. God wrote it. Praise. You know that Joel prophesied about? And the Apostle Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. The last day said, God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Do you know? Nobody interpreted that prophecy. But the Apostle Peter himself. And it's not going to come uninterpreted. And do you know what Jesus taught them that 40 days after his resurrection? He taught them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So, what Jesus taught them in that 40 days was about the Holy Ghost. And now some little whippersnapper with some brand new beard's going to come along and quit calling himself Reverend and calling himself Bob and is going to try to tell me. Well. I thought I'd do a little different than this. I thought it... Not more, but I feel like, you know what it's going to boil down to? It's going to boil down. That's it. It's going to boil down. And I'm not saying this because Brother Heyman's church has never been in UPC. I'm not buttering up nobody. I don't have to. We're friends. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going to boil down to, it's going to be whoever believes, keeps believing this truth. They stayed steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now, there's probably a lot maybe happened before all that. And this is not going to be something anybody votes on. This is going to be the world totally closing in on the church. And some is going to compromise because they don't want to face it. A politician is a politician is a politician. And he's going to feather his own nest if he has to go against everything he's always said. But it's going to come down, and oh God, help me be strong enough, if I'm still alive, that this truth and God and what He has proclaimed means more than anything else. God, you just stay there. There's a lady told me one day, I was pastoring her, and she said to me, she said, "Brother Marlon, I'm quitting church." I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, my daughter is backslid, and she's on drugs, and I raised her right, and she's gone, and I'm quitting." I said to her, I said, "Sister, let me tell you something. If you leave, when she wants to come back, she won't have no place to come to. So you better stay. You better pray like you've never prayed before, and go to church more than you ever went before. And you need to sing in the choir. You need to worship. You need to shout. Stay with it." That was 15 years ago I told her that. And she stood. She took what I said and stayed in the church. Last month she called me so happy. She said, "Oh, Brother Marlon, my daughter has come back. She's coming back to church. She's living for God."
Thank God, thank God.
Here was the father. Here was the father. And here's the prodigal down in the hog pen. The father stayed home. The prodigal left. And he's down there starving to death. And he was in a hog pen. They said that he wasted his substance, and the Bible said riotous living. And he was down there in that hog pen. And one day he saw an old sow stick her nose down under the slop and blow a bubble. And he said, "I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out of here." And he said, "I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to arise. And I'm going to go to my father's house. And I'm going to say to my father, 'Father, won't you just make me as one of your hired servants?'" He kept running. He kept praying. He kept practicing his feet. Till finally, he got parallel. And when he got parallel, his father said, "Go kill the fatted calf." Praise God. And put a ring on his hand, royalty is here. Praise God. Oh, put a robe on this man. He said, "My son was dead, but now he's alive." Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I wish this would work. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. It does work. It's my old ear. The father. Now, the elder son, he had always been there. And he had been there so long that he didn't even appreciate it. He had been there so long. See, the human being gets used to anything. That's why you got to keep praying. That's why you got to keep reading your Bible every day. That's why you got to keep fasting. Because, you see, we get used to anything. And that's the way we're made. And so he just was so used to it. And when he saw... when he saw all this going on for his brother that had been wayward, he got jealous. And the minute he got jealous, he arced out. And went away.
and went so far. That we never heard from him again.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes. Thank God.
Oh God. God is positive. We're negative. But faith lines us back up. Jeff Harpo, a boy many years ago that graduated from our college, he got a chance to go overseas and preach in one of those countries where people walked to church for miles and miles and didn't have anything, and they were so anxious to get to church. And there was a young man came in, and his leg was all bandaged up. He had gangrene in his leg and swollen big, and it was bandaged up. And he sat down, and they put a chair out now, and he put his leg on the and Jeff was preaching. And after a while, the power of God fell. Am I boring? Somehow I felt boring. And he was preaching, and the power of God fell. And all of a sudden, that boy's leg, that bandage got loose and falling down and around. So a whole bunch of people ran to him. They took the bandage off, and his leg was just as well as this one. So he said, the boy said, would somebody please hand me that sack? And they handed him a sack. And he took his other shoe out and put it on. And somebody said, how did you happen to have your other shoe? He said, they told me that if I would come here and hear this preacher preach that Jesus would heal me. So I knew if that was happening, I'd need my other shoe. I know everybody knows that the Lord can heal. Well, let me ask you, did you bring your other shoe? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. We know that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. Praise God. Oh, I wish that I had this all the time. Let me start. No, I won't start over. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God, your healing is already paid for. Praise God. Let Him heal you right now. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Faith lines us. Well, they was going to have a somebody said, ask a question one day to a trainer of seeing eye dogs. Said, what is your biggest obstacle in training? And the trainer said, well, you see, a man sees here. And a dog sees here. And said, the obstacle is to get the dog to elevate his sights to be able to see
on the man's level. And said, whenever we get him to elevate his sights, we know he can be trained. Now, I'm not making us like animals. Don't misunderstand me. But, oh, when we learn to elevate our thinking, our worship, our sight, when we learn to put it on Him. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. If I can ever get to seeing like the Lord, if I can ever just get to seeing like He sees. You say, Brother Moore, I just don't understand. Well, the problem is we don't see it like the Lord sees it. Well, the problem is we're listening at the scientists. That's our problem. What we need to do is see it like the Lord sees it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We don't need to see it like some textbook from some university that was just fixed originally to deceive somebody. We need to look at what the Word of the Lord has to say about it. I was having to make a decision one time, and a man looked at me and said, would you do me a favor? I said, what was that? He said, all I ask is you don't bring the Bible into your decision. So you're nuts. You are nuts. I got to see like He sees. Oh, Lord, let us see like You see tonight. Lord, I'm tired of looking at it a crazy way. I'm tired of looking at it in halves. I'm tired of looking at it without the facts. I want to just let faith carry me right parallel with You, where I can have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. And You can tell me. You can school me. Praise God. You can let me feel the way I ought to feel. Thank God. The reason we can't forgive people is because we don't see it like God sees it. We see it like we want to see it. Hey, I want to tell you something. You can't be jealous and happy at the same time. You've got to be one or the other. So, they had asked a man, this little town had asked a man, a sculptor, to take and build a marble horse and put in their park. Well, the horse was a canvas was over him, and the town, whole town, had come out to hear, to see, and to celebrate. And they had all kind of music, and then they had speakers, and then they had the unveiling of the statue. And even though people knew what was in under that canvas, when they pulled that canvas back, it took people's breath. And people said they thought that that horse, he was so real that he was going to literally run down through the park. And the reporter asked him, said, how in the world did you do it? Oh, he said it was very simple, very simple. Very simple, yes. How did you do it? He said, I just took a big piece of marble, a hammer and a chisel, and I cut away everything that didn't look like a horse. You see, Brother Marla, I just don't know if I can live the way you folks live. I've had people tell me that. Amen. It's very simple. You just pray and obey and live for God and take away everything that doesn't look like God and righteousness. And you have it.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we let God, one of the most beautiful ladies I've ever seen walked in a church one night when I was preaching in Kentucky. And she sat down and I was preaching and all of a sudden she stood up. I gave her an altar call in the middle of the sermon and she stood up and come and she met me down the aisle and she said, Brother Marler, I was going to commit suicide this afternoon. And finally I said, I've never been to that church there. I'm going to give it a chance. And she said, she opened her purse. And she said, here's the bullet. It was in the gun that was going to go through my brain. And she started crying. And I took the gun and unbreached it and took the shell out and put it in my pocket. And she stood there. And she got one of the most wonderful experiences with God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Could we pray a little bit? Lord, Lord, look upon us. Lord, look upon us. Help us. Help us to feel your grace and glory. Help us to feel your power and your goodness. Oh God, oh God, don't let us go out and be like we are sometimes. Help us, oh God. Oh God, let us stay right under that power, right parallel with you. Or the law of God says, if we do that, you come and be down inside of our hearts. Praise God. Oh Lord, let us love you. Oh Lord, let us love each other. Oh Lord, don't let us get crossways with each other, Lord. Help us to love each other, Lord. Oh God. And oh God, no matter what any of our kin folks do, no matter what any of our friends do, Lord, don't let us deviate, amen, from what we know is right. Lord, there's no way we can fix up something else. Don't let us arc out and move away. Oh God. Oh God, I pray. Oh God, I want it right now so bad, Lord. I want it so bad. I want everybody in this place, I want you to feel what I feel tonight. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. No, Lord. We know that you're just like you always was. No, Lord. Now listen, Lord. We know that you love us. And we know, Lord, that your power is just as strong. And we know, Lord, that you forgive us. Lord, help us to put the devil behind us, God. In Jesus' name, we know that name is just as powerful as it ever was, God. Oh, God, we know that. Let this flesh stay right under their power. Because, Lord, I'm not strong enough to do what I want to do for you. I'm not strong enough to live the way I want to live for you, Lord. I'm not strong enough to control my mind, Lord. I want you to control my mind. I want you to control my thinking. Let's all stand. Oh, glory. Oh, glory.
I've had all but what I need is more of you. Of things I've had my fill, but yet I hunger still. Empty and bare, Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. Say it. More.
Altar is open for anybody that would like to come. Anybody that would like to encounter the Lord. Power of God is in this place tonight. Oh, I want anybody here tonight that may be out of line.
I've had all.
Anybody here tonight that may just want to be sure that they're lined up. Anyone? Everyone? Oh, this is our hour to make sure that we are under the power and under the influence, under the anointing. We've got God's direction and God's approval in our lives. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
And yet I hunger still.
Anybody here tonight that's got crossed up, got mixed
empty
up,
empty,
maybe confused? Hey, why not give the Lord a try?
Lord, hear my
prayer. Maybe you've never been in a church like this before.
For more,
and it's perfectly fine.
Of you.
There's power to be found in the Holy Ghost. This is God's house. Anyone, everyone.
More
Jesus is in this place. Oh, let's lift our vision to Him. Let's look unto Jesus. Oh, I wouldn't leave here tonight if I weren't lined up with the Lord. You may not have another opportunity. Let's make this opportunity count tonight.
But what I need more of you.
We all try to find a place to pray. Try to move as close to the front as you can, and let's just come before the Lord empty and bare. Let's come before the Lord hungry. Let's come before the Lord ready with our arms outstretched. Oh, let's come before the Lord tonight with an appetite to be filled. Oh, He said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Ready to come to terms. Ready to line up with the Lord. They shall be filled. Thank God, thank God, thank God.